Okay, let's begin. We're up to Paragites Pasik Chaf Hei. Paragites Chaf Hei Leitz Take Ufesi Yarim V'Yichiach L'Navon Yovin Glas. There are three parts to this Pasik. Part one is the Leitz Take is hit. The Leitz, this individual who is in the habit of mocking everything that is good and noble, is smitten, he is put down. Pesiyarim, and the foolish person becomes wise. V'yechiach l'navon, and by giving musar to the person of understanding, yavin do'asti, will one day he will come to understand knowledge. Okay, three parts to this pasuk. Let's see if we can do this one thing at a time. Pasuk Chaf Hei, Leitz Take, Kasher Take, Samis Leitz Seitz Ala Chochma. When the master, he punishes the individual who has the tendency to mock wisdom, Imki Lo Toil Lo, the punishment does not accomplish anything. However, although the punishment accomplishes nothing, hine hapesi hamechuser havana, the simpleton who lacks understanding, yischakem ba'avur zeh, becomes wise in observing what happens to the lates. Aval enavon af divri hachochma yu'ilulo, for him the words of chochma assist, help. Third part is not really an easy flow to part three of the pasuk. But part one and part two is very simple. There's a very common phenomenon, and that is that let's say you have a class, and in the class you have some troublemakers, and then you have some people that are on the border. We all know that in a class, punishing the troublemakers does absolutely nothing. You can punish them 100 times, you can throw them out of the class, you can discipline them and send them home to their parents and give them an F and so on and so forth. It's not going to make a dent. Maybe you can't say for everyone, but unfortunately this is a reality. So why bother punishing these troublemakers when it doesn't make a dent on them? The answer is, the one who benefits are the other people in the class. Because there are people in the class, in the group, that are on the boundary, on the border. They would like to make trouble. If they can get away with it, they would get away with it. They would do it. They would go and take a plunge and do whatever they can do to satisfy themselves. But when they see their friends get thrown out of class and be told to go home and bring back their father or their mother or one of their parents... That was supposed to be a joke. When they're told what? Terabadas joke? My father always told it to me. Get out with your mother or your father, one of your parents. So when that happens, at least the people, the simpletons, the people who are in the boundary, they become wise. They say to themselves, you know what, it's not kedai for us to make trouble, so we are not punished. So it turns out that the punishment does serve a very great purpose. It doesn't accomplish anything with regard to the people, the wicked people, but it does serve as a deterrent for people that are on the border. I mean, you can say this in general in society. The hardened criminals, no matter what you do to them, it's not going to make a difference. But just the fact that there is such a thing called a correction facility out there, and there are people out there that are locked up, that is a deterrent for people who are on the boundary, on the border, to convince them, you know what, it's not a good idea to make trouble. We don't want to end up like these other people. So Leitz Take, the Leitz is hit, he's beaten, he is punished. For what purpose? Nothing. The Leitz gets nothing out of this. He's not improved, he's not corrected. But the benefit is upesi, the simpletons, the people that are nishtahi nishtaher yarim, they wisen up. Period. They wisen up. Then the pasuk and the pasuk doesn't really flow well, but it's a similar idea. Is that when you give musar to the navon, to a wise man? Let's say you have in the class and your group some very wise, clever people, and you give them musar. You don't have to hit. You need not punish them physically. It's enough just to speak to them with harsh words, lenavon, to one that understands. Yavin das, he comes to a greater understanding. And we'll see in the first explain. I saw the Mamlois explains in more detail. Is the word yavin means mevin davar mitoich davar. What does it mean? What does it mean mevin davar? Maybe the mitoch davar, that when you give a wise person mussar in regard to one area of his life, he wakes up. It's a wake up call for him to evaluate other areas, other dimensions of his life. Mavin davar mitoch davar. If I'm not doing well in this area, if you're giving someone mussar, you're not coming on time to shachris, then he comes to realize the same way my shachris is not a shachris. It must be that my mincha and my ma'ariv is also not, or there are other areas in my life that require improvement. So ziyavin doas the novel, the person of understanding, when he receives musr, he takes the musr. Not only does he improve the subject of what is being discussed, but yavin doas, he comes to a greater understanding in other areas of his life that also require improvement. Unfortunately, this is a scenario I know. I've heard about people who are in chinuch. I know nothing about chinuch. I don't make any claims. I'm not involved in at all, but I know this scenario. I've heard this scenario a number of times. Family members and other people, is where you have a really good kid in the class. This is a very big problem. Very good kid in the class, and all of a sudden, the teacher or the principal, they punish them. There's a problem going on. There are people, the students are not behaving, and the one that the principal picks on is the good guy. And he punishes him shaloi kedin. Shaloi kedin. Why? Because why? And this, I'm telling you, I know this is a fact, I'm not going to tell you all the details, but why? Because the other kids in the class, he can't punish, because their fathers are paying the salaries of the principal and all the administrators. So the principal, the teacher, cannot punish the real troublemakers. But the teacher and the principal are going out of their minds, because these kids, they're just climbing the walls. They're impossible to deal with. So he wants to make an example. He can't go rank out the troublemakers. So the example he makes is the good one. The one that's doing everything right. Oh, he slipped a little teeny mash. He made a mistake. If he even made a mistake, he's going to get the punishment. Leman yishmu v'yirohun v'lo yizidun, to serve as an example for everyone else in the class. It doesn't make any sense, but it happens all the time. It happens all the time. I know firsthand a terrible story, so something like this, where the mamish harassed a certain student, a good student, exactly because of this problem. Because everyone else in the class was... Yeah, so exactly. This is what goes on out there. But the yeah. Oh, that's what it says in the pasuk. So Shlomo was giving advice to take the bad students.
Oh yeah. Put him in charge of something. Divert him to make him feel that he's part of the
school. You need a lot of talent for that.
There's an example I give with a black kid in there, my black kid that was a troublemaker. And he won't let up. So finally the teacher also won out of mind.
Made him president.
He made him a collector of books. He made him
that's what we did, setting up the
room. yeah, okay. You have to be careful.
Yeah, it worked.
I had an electrician come over to the house years ago. I don't know why I remember this. The guy was schmoozing with me, complaining to me and harassing me, all these different things. You know, these people, they come, they like to talk. So he says that he gets a lot of business in Harlem, in the worst neighborhoods. He gets business there because no one wants to go there. These buildings, these slums. And there's a lot of work. If you want to make money, there's a lot to be made, honest, good money, by going to these certain neighborhoods where they desperately need people, electricians, plumbers, to do work on these buildings. So all of his friends in this profession don't go there. Because they go there, they drop off there, they park in front of the building. When they come out, the van is not there anymore. And all their supplies is gone. Everything is gone. So it's not kedai for them to go to this neighborhood, park the van, and go to work, because whatever. So he says, he is not, if he go, he knows how to deal with them. He goes there, and he looks for the local fellow sitting on the corner, and he says, here's $5, wash my van. Will you make some money? I want you to wash the van. So then another guy also washed, he fixed up my van, his van doesn't need to be washed. couldn't care less. But once this guy, the machas, washing the van, now the van is his turf, it's his responsibility. Exactly what you said, it's his territory. No one's going to chep, no one's going to go and so exactly what you said, you take the lates and you give him a function, a job, and then he works in your favor. He says it always works, and there's a problem, and he cashes in big. He gets a lot of work, but he knows how to deal with the locals. You gotta know how to deal with the Taliban. You deal with the Taliban, you'll do okay. So this is what it says over here: the leis takev pesiyadim. Okay, let's see the Rashi. Rashi says over here: leis takev pesiyadim al makris paro umulchemes amolak hechdim yisro v'diskayer. Rashi is quoting a medrash, which in my oitzah hamedrashim, he really goes to town. In a nutshell, Rashi says the entire thing. Yisro observed Hashem destroy Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, and his nation, and Amalek. And Yisro was on the border. He didn't know what to do. Yisro mitzad echad, he wanted, and the Chazal said Yisro was part of the Eitzah. Originally, when Paro had a dilemma, should he enslave the Jewish people, Yisro was sitting there. Yisro, he ran away. Yisro ran away. But Yisro was a shady guy originally. Yisro was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He worshipped every single idol. So Yisro was on the border, and he could have gone either way. But when he saw how HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed Egypt and punished Amalek, he wisened up.
But he wisened up before then, because he went away from Paro before.
Okay, there are different dargas. He went away from Paro doesn't necessarily mean that he wholeheartedly, he didn't join Klal Yisrael. He went away from Paro, but he didn't become part of Klal Yisrael.
Just being an advocate for Avodah Zarah doesn't make you want to...
Okay, there are many shades. There are many shades. Okay, I'll read you. Let's see some of the words of this medrash. Leitz, let me see if I can find it over here, because there are different versions of this medrash. Leitz take ze amolek ufesi yarim. This is the medrash in the Psikta de Rav Kahana. Ufesi yarim ze Yisro. V'kevan sheshama Yisro kol hanisim ha'elu she'asak HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mitzrayim u'v'amolek. Yisro heard everything that happened in Egypt and in Amolek. Miyod bo v'niskayer. L'kach ne'amar leitz take ufesi yarim. Okay, that's one. That's the short version. The longer version really involves a long story. The story is a person was shooting birds. What do they call it? I don't know. Shooting birds.
Hunting.
Okay, hunting birds. A lot of politicians like to go hunt birds. And hopefully they know it. The vice president, Dick, what happened? Dick Cheney, he almost shot. He shot his friend. He shot his friend instead of shooting the bird. So Ma'isa Shahaya, this person was shooting, was aiming for a bird, whatever, a pigeon, whatever it was, and he got it. Dead. It hit the target. The other bird, there were two birds that were flying together. The other bird, I said, Gevalf, what happened to my poor friend? He's dead. I'm next. I see I'm in his crosshairs. I'm next. So this bird was a clever bird. It landed, it went and flew to a statue of the king. There were big statues. Like in Baghdad, before Saddam, every other block, there's a big statue of the king of Saddam. So the bird went and landed on the head of the statue. So the shooter, the archer, whoever, the hunter, said, oh no, what am I going to do now? If I miss, I'll knock off the head of the statue. And even if I don't miss, I get the bird on top, but it will look like people will see me shooting. They're not going to know that I'm shooting at the bird. I'm shooting at the statue. So therefore, I better put my gun back into its sheath. I better withdraw. And then the person said to the bird, "Bird, I have to give you high praise. You got the better of me. I thought I'm the big hunter. I can capture anything that I want with my marksmanship. I see you're quiet, so you knew where to hide. You hid in the place where I cannot possibly shoot because of the danger to my own life." So the Medrash says this mashal is the nimshal is the Yisro. Yisro was originally part of the team, part of Par, part of Amalek. He was part of them. They were all together, and when Yisro saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took aim at Amalek and Mitzrayim. So where did Yisro go? Yisro went and sat down on the head of the statue of the king. Who's the statue of the king? Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael is in the Tzelem, has fashioned themselves by Mekayim the Torah, has molded themselves in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means, Eson Moshevecha. Okay, it does not, but it gives him some credit. It gives him some credit. That's why we call him over here in this medrash, Eson Moshevecha. Will Abraham survive?
If he doesn't survive.
Haran, yeah.
Haran.
Right.
Reminds me of the same concept. He goes which way, he hedges his bets.
Yeah, hedges his bet, but it didn't work out for him too well. Here he jumped into the fire and he died. But here the word Yofes or Eni Yodema Amalach Ella, here the message concludes where the hunter says to the bird, Yofa Bocharta Vinif Latita. You've chosen well. You've fled to a very good place. Kach Bilam Roli Yisrov Amalek, so to Bilam Roli Yisrov Amalek Be'etza. Bilam saw that Yisro and Amalek originally had one plan. They wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. Yisrael hears it, and this is what the Medrash says. This is the Medrash Shmos Rabbah. Standard Medrash, Shmos Rabbah, that Yisrael was a partner with Amalek. That's a pretty shocking statement. Omar al Amalek v'kililoi, u'moch adama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed, destroyed Amalek. Now Hashem took aim, Omad al Amalek v'kililoi, u'moch adama. Bilam cursed. Is that what it says over here in the Medrash? That part of the nevuah of Bilam is he cursed Amalek. Bol liros Yisro. He now was about to go and aim and curse a Yisro. Mitzao she'osa teshuva. He did shuva, meaning that he joined Klal Yisrael. Amalo. He said the same exact words. The Medrash used the same words that the hunter said to the bird. Lemakoim yofe barachta. You, Yisro, you have fled to a beautiful place. Vezehu shenemar. This is what it says in the words of Bilam. Bilam's Eson Moshevecha. Eson Moshevecha means the mighty. The mighty place is your dwelling. Avraham is called Eson. We can interpret it to mean over here that you sat down on a place that is Eson, that is mighty, that is powerful. It's a place where I cannot take aim at. Okay, then when the pasuk goes on, the pasuk continues. The pasuk in this theme, it says, V'yichiach l'navon yovin do'as. Since the subject of this pasuk is Yisro, when he joined Klal Yisrael, he contributed to Klal Yisrael by giving Moshe Rabbeinu Musar. What was the Musar? Lo yuchalato la'asos levadecha. The Musa was, you on you by yourself cannot continue to lead Klal Yisrael in this manner. Novol tibol, you're going to wear out. You have to take for yourself some assistance. You have to join a Sanhedrin of 70 people and rush a different heads in order to help you manage Klal Yisrael. So v'yichiach l'navon, Yisrael gave Musar to the Navon. Navon is Moshe Rabbeinu, Yovin Doas, and Moshe came to understand that what Yisrael said was true to the Das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem wants there should be people to assist Moshe Rabbeinu in his running of the Klal of Klal Yisrael. So the whole pasuk is in reference to Yisrael, Leitz Takeh, the Leitz is smitten, that is Amalek and Mitzrayim, Ufesiyarem, Yisro wisened up, he joined Klal Yisrael, and not only did he join Klal Yisrael, he improved Klal Yisrael through his Musar, V'yachich L'Navon, he gave Musar to Moshe, Yovin Doas, and Moshe came to understand Hashem's intent that there be many leaders to guide Klal Yisrael. Now there is one other medrash, and the other medrash is only Darsh is the first half of the pasuk, and that talks about Chava. Chava is called the Pesi. A woman here is called, Chava is called the foolish woman. Why was she foolish? Because she gave Adam to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Yarim here in this medrash is interpreted in a negative fashion. It does not mean to become wise, it means to become deceitful. She became deceitful in that she decided, if I'm going to die, everyone's going to die. I don't want it to be that I'm going to eat from the Eitz Hadas and my husband will live forever. So therefore, let him suffer with me. She was a success. Yarb, she was smart. Not only did she give to her husband, she even gave to every creature in the world. Chava, when she decided to do the Avera, she was a genius. She decided there are going to be no survivors. If I go down, you all go down. She fed every living creature in this world from the food of the Eitz Hadas, so everyone should die. There was only one creature that escaped her grasp, and that was called the choil. It's a certain type of bird. It's a medrash. It's a bird that lives forever. We don't know what this means, but that's the only creature that did not eat from the Eitz Hadas. Okay, anything that survived the Eitz Hadas lives on like reach. Why is the koyach of ketores so important? On Yom HaKippurim, the climax of the Avodah is Lefnai V'Lefim to be Makti the Keteres. Every day we're off to the Keteres. All the Segulis, we have no idea what this is all about. The Keteres, why? So Chazal tell us it's the only sense that did not enjoy the Eitz Hadas. The Eitz Hadas, it says, she touched it, she ate it, she tasted it. All of the senses benefited, participated in the Chet Eitz Hadas with the exception of smell. Chava did not take the Eitz Hadas and it smells delicious. Mela, there was no pegima in the koyach of reach, and that's why reach, the koyach of reach, remains pure to its source. And therefore, when we try to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's through the koyach of reach nichoyach. You bring a carbon, the purpose is it should be a reach nichoyach. Reach nichoyach doesn't mean it should be. It means halavai, we should go back to Adam koydem lechet eitz hadas, because it's the only way we can connect ourselves back to the source. You always need something that's pure to return you to your original source. So this pasuk here says, "Upesi." That's exactly what Chava tried to undo. This is the horror of this pasuk. That Leitz talk. Who was the Leitz? The Leitz was the Nachash. The Nachash was smitten. Yeah.
No, I mean, the way you described it, it assumes that she knew she was doing something wrong and did it anyhow.
She couldn't control herself, so she figured, once I'm going down, everyone's going down.
It's not the conventional way we look at it. We look at it as that the Nachash convinced her that nothing would happen to her as a result of
It must have been, well, according to this medrash, that subconsciously she was hedging her bets.
She pushed her against the tree, and she mistook the...
Well, she knew that Hashem never said you can't touch it. She was moiset. You have to, there are many layers of interpretation. The Nachash...
His idea.
She invented that. She added. The Nachash said. Chava said to the Nachash that Hashem said that we're not allowed to touch the Eitz Hadas. That was a lie. Hashem never.
Adam told her that. She didn't know.
Yeah, Adam told her.
Adam told Chava that she's not allowed to touch it.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Okay, I'm not familiar with that.
You don't tell me about allowed.
That's what we learned not to add to the command.
Don't add, right? Loi Tosef. That was part. So who exactly added it? Okay, that's an issue. Okay, who added? I don't know. Who added it to this prohibition? But that was all part. That was part of the tactic of the Nachash. The Nachash knew that this added prohibition of not touching is not true. It's something which you want to add. You're making the tuffle into the ikker, and he was able to use that as a means, as the way to penetrate their mind, to play with their minds, to convince them to. It all involved taiva. They found excuses, everything, but. Ultimately, there was a desire, Yetzer Sahara, to sin, and they ended up sinning. And this is what the pasuk here says, this according to this medrash, is the Leitz Taka is the Nachash. The Nachash was smitten, or we should say, I think what it means here in the medrash is Taka means not that it did the smiting, not that it was beaten. According to the way we learned the Pshat in the pasuk originally, it means Leitz Taka, Leitz, a person who's a Leitz Taka, is beaten. A student in the class was a troublemaker. Troublemaker is beaten up by the teacher, and then the pesi, the simpleton yarim, he becomes wise by learning from what has happened to the lates. That's a simple interpretation, but according to the medrash, it seems to be saying is lates taka. The lates is the one that's doing the beating. The troublemaker has a bat. Has some type of tool that he's going around and hitting people with it. Upesi, that's the Nachash. Nachash did a terrible thing by destroying Chava and Adam, by convincing them to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Upesi, I mean, when Chava now listened, was willing to go along with the Nachash, she was clever, she was wiser than the Nachash, and she said, if I'm going to go down, maybe what the Nachash is doing is not right, and maybe there are going to be consequences. If I'm going to go down, everyone is going down with me, the whole world, my husband and all of the creatures, and therefore I'm going to feed them from the Eitz Hadas. Ufesiyarim. The Medrash stops here. The Medrash does not conclude what the pasuk then. What? The Hanocha Shay Aru Mikol Hachaya Shal Pnei Adam. Einachanam. The Perush of Pasuk. But the Medrash here just says that no, the Yarim here is Chava, Zo Chava. I know. I agree with you. I hear the Pasuk. But for whatever reason, it's saying over here that the Leitz is the Nochosh. It's Take. It hit Chava. Upesi. Chava, who is called in this pasuk, Pesi Yarim, she was clever. Before she did the Avera, she made sure everyone should be just like her. And the Medrash stops here, does not tell us how the end of the pasuk follows into this theme. Maybe that means that Hashem, after the Chet Eitz Hadas, Hashem gave Musar to the Navon, and they, from that, I mean, that's what means Yavin Doas. Yavin Doas means Eitz Hadas. Obviously, the reason why this Medrash is picking up on Chava, and the Nachash seemingly is because the pasuk concludes with the word Das. Yavin Doas. Knowledge, the Eitz Hadas Toivaras. Maybe means now that now they understood Das. V'yachiach Lenovon. Yavin Doas. So maybe the word V'yachiach here does not mean to give Musar. It means, V'yachiach means that she forced upon the Navon to understand us. I'm loosely translating the word V'yachiach in a different sense, to make sense with the Medrash, to force. V'yachiach means to give Musar, but it means to come on strong. To come on strong to Adam HaRishon, who was the ultimate Navon, so that he should broaden his horizons, and he should have also from the eights of Das Toivara Yavin Doas. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, pasuk Chavav Mishaded of a. Let's read the whole pasuk. Pasuk Chavav Mishaded of Yavriach Eim Bein Mevish Umachpir. We have to read the pasuk backwards to make sense. At least it's a simple interpretation. A bein, the end of the pasuk, that is Mevish Umachpir, an evil child, a shameful child. Two words which mean the same thing. Mevish Lashon Bush, Busha, shame, a child that causes shame to his parents. Umachpir, Machpir is another word which means the same thing. In Busha, this child accomplishes two things. Number one, he is the cause of why his father divorces his mother, and that's the Avriach Eim. The father drives away his mother, and next there are consequences. There are the ksuba. There is alimony. He has to pay alimony. He has to pay money. Got to pay the ksuba. It's a fortune. It's not cheap to get divorced. Getting divorced. Oh, that's what Rashi says. Rashi quotes that Medrash, but let's first push on the pasuk. Mishaded. Mishaded means to rob. He causes his father to deplete his life savings to pay off the ksuba, to pay off his mother for divorcing her. So a shameful child is what causes a marriage, the number one reason that causes a marriage to fall apart. That is the message of Shlomo HaMelech. And the lesson is, so make sure that the children are good. The children have a good chinuch. You can't always control it, obviously. 99% of all these horror stories that we read about is nothing to do with just there's nothing you can do. That's how it is. And mishaded of yavriach aim, and therefore this is if a child has a good hadrach and learning, it gives nachas to the parents. The nail of the marriage is firm. The dovak al ken yazav ish es over the esimo the dovak be ishtoy v'hayu lebasar echad. Lebasar echad, Rashi says, is the children. So the children, lebasar echad, is what cleaves, is the glue, the dovak. So this is what the pasuk in the Mitzudos pasuk Chavav Mishaded of Haben. Rashi right away Mitzudos jumps to the end of the pasuk Haben Shehu Mevish Umachpir Pnei Aviv, a child who shames the face of his father. Goyrein is the cause Shaviv Megareish Limo, his father divorces his mother. Al Asher had Richtoy Bederech Hazeh, the father blames the mother. The reason why he turned out always the way. depends who you ask. But the father blames, the father over here is in the driver's seat, at least in this particular instance. He's making the parnasa, he's calling the shots, and the child does not turn out to his liking. He blames the wife, and therefore he divorces her. Asher had richtoi bederech hazeh. And therefore, what are the consequences? It's not cheap to get divorced. Val karchach yevazbeis nechosav, he has to part with his wealth. Lo seis lo kisubasa to pay her ksuba. Vaharei haben ahu, so it turns out that this child goizel es aviv has stolen, has indirectly stolen from his father dmei haksuba, the cost, the value of the ksuba. Umavriach es imay mimenu, and has caused his mother, the mother, to separate from the father. Kirashi quotes the Medrash. Who is the Mavriach? Rashi Meshaded of Yavriach Aim, Mavriach Aim. Okay, so when he causes the word Yavriach means Mavriach, just to replace the Yud with the Mem. Rashi says in his language, Lashon Kodesh, it's more easy to translate the words if you would change the Yud for a Mem. Mavriach causes the mother to be separated. Bein Mevishu Machpir Derochav. A child whose mevishu machpir derach of his ways, a child whose ways are shameful, and being that his ways are shameful, it's a disgrace to the parents. And Rashi now quotes the Medrash: Al yidei shero osa sara es ben hagar hamitzris misachik lavaydas gilul megilay arayos. Being that Sara saw Yishmael, the son of Hagar Mitzris, was misachik, he was making litzanis, he was worshiping idols, engaging in gilay arayos. Goram zesh and ishtalcha ima, that was the cause. Sarah said to Avram, Goresh es ha'amo hazos v'yaspina, get rid of her. And shenishtalcha ima vayera hadavar me'oid b'yenei Avraham al oido yaspina, this was evil in the eyes of his father. So here, who is the cause of all this? Yishmael. Yishmael is the one who caused Avraham to divorce his wife Hagar, and to he had a pair off, obviously. He had a pair, that's what it seems to say. What?
He was wealthy.
Meshaded. He had what to pay. Okay, what does it say? It says, Vayitin as kol asher, he gave them atonos. What is that what it says? Well, lebnei hapilak shim asher li Avraham nosan. Keturah. That was Keturah, the binos bino Keturah, bnei Keturah.
Gave her bread and water.
Achemes, yeah, you're right. You're right. So what he didn't give? Okay, how then does it play out this pasuk? It's mishaded off. So it's a very good point.
Maybe he wasn't garish.
Well, before Matan Torah, the way a man got divorced, the Rambam says, is the broom. The broom, you take a broom and you sweep her out of the house. That's what the Rambam says.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay ksuba then.
You don't. You don't.
Was there a ksuba before Matan Torah?
No, okay. Definitely not.
They just kicked her out.
So there was no mishaded. So what was... What?
Avram himself doesn't get any of the blame at all for the way that Ishmael was brought up. It's all...
He was busy in yeshiva, you know. She was
it's a good question. You're asking a very good question. I don't know how... Right, it's his child. So it's his child, so how come no one, you don't find anywhere in Chazal, anywhere, as far as I know, that Avram was blamed for the way Yishmael turned out. For who are ye a para adam?
Yeah, Yitzchak
was good. No,
Yishmael was not. Yeah, but so people have 12 children today. Yeah, everyone, you're responsible. You have 12 children, you got to be responsible for every, that's the big criticism that people have today, is that, you know, you have children, yeah.
His anger brings down Yitzchak, he does put blame on Yitzchak,
and he keeps his eyes on... Asaph. Okay, I don't know the answer.
Avram was busy with Kiruv.
He was busy with the whole world. The shoemaker's children have no shoes.
Right,
right, the shoemaker's children go without shoes. This is a very true phenomenon.
Also thought that Ishmael, as bad as he was, if he's in the house, it's a better tarbus than to send him away.
But
even if he was bad, you keep him home, you have a little influence on him. And she said, no way, the little influence that he's...
There's no solution, there's no one-size-fits-all, everyone knows that. There's no one size. There's no. So you can even generalize. It's so. You can't generalize. Every person is different. But you ask good, really tough questions. It's a good question. Mishaded. Mishaded means to rob. Yeah.
The Medrash says.
Yeah.
A little further than Rashi takes it. That what did Sora see? She saw him fooling around with Avodah Zarah and Gilead Arayos, and then she saw Yishmael playing around playing like he was going to kill.
Target practice. Yitzchak was target practice.
At that point, that was
Adkan.
The end.
Adkan. Bo mai mad nofesh. He almost killed him. There was a ma'aseh where he shot an arrow,
yeah,
and he
if he were playing around,
and he came very close, and that was it. There was bad blood between there from the very beginning in a chanami, and he drove him out. So this is what this is. They were dividing the world at that point in time. Okay, let's see. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Chadal bini l'shmoy musar lishkois me imrei das. Now this is an amazing pasuk. Let's see what it says here first in the Mitzvah. You can sense is really struggling. You can feel the pain the Mitzvah has here interpreting this pasuk. Because if you translate the pasuk literally, what does it mean? Chadal means to stay away. Stay away, my child, from listening to musar. How in the world can you say such a thing? Don't learn Musar. Go to the store and demand you to hand over all of the Mesilas Yesharim, all the Chavis Halavavis, Derech Hashem, all the Musar Svarim that we banned. Can you imagine all the Gedolei Yisrael today come out, they put a paper called Kori in the newspaper, and it's Asur to learn Mesilas Yesharim. That's what it says. Shlomo HaMelech over here is issuing a ban on all Musar Svarim. Chadal b'ni l'shmoya Musar. My child, don't listen. Don't spend your time learning Musar. And Taka, some yeshivas, they don't learn any Musar. That's Taka the way it is. Okay, we used to, you know, Chaim Berlin, I don't know what goes on now. There, but we used to have a Musar said before Mincha. Every day they learn Musar, well, I think 15 minutes. So every so often they would be machazik the Musa Seder. They would strengthen, they would make sure everyone comes on time before. And because why would they need to be machazik? Because sometimes it would phase out. There was sheer until 15 minutes before Mincha, and people would take their time coming back from sheer until they came into the Beis Medrash to daven Mincha. And even when you come in, you wouldn't so quickly open up a Musa Sefer, you would start schmoozing, and you learn other things. And before you blinked, it was already time for Ashrei. So the joke was that it's not really a Musa Seder, it's moment of silence. It also was very quiet. It's very quiet during that those last 5 minutes. Everyone is just, oh, they roar. So they say it's not a say. You don't have to learn. Just a moment of silence in memory of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Moment of every day. A moment of that's also good. It's also a madrega. The moment of silence. Unless there's a mice. I heard this Tisha B'Av. There was a sheer. And one of the old timer, I forgot the name of this Rosh Yeshiva, it was a Zokin, and he was talking about Musar, and he said in fascinating, so I think it was Rabbi Cheska Levenstein, in Eretz Yisrael, after the war, there was a family, and they wanted to do a shidduch with a certain boy. They had a daughter, and they selected a boy, and they went to, I think it was Rabbi Cheska Levenstein, they went to him for a bracha. That it should be successful. So he asked them. Okay, I don't know who. I think it could be with someone else. I don't know which one of the big Bali Musar. And they asked him. He asked him, find out if the boy learns Musar. If he learns 10 minutes of Musar a day. If the boy learns 10 minutes of Musar a day, then I give you a bracha. This shidduch should be successful. But if the boy doesn't learn Musar, even though he learns the entire day, doesn't learn even 10 minutes a day of Musar, I can't give you a bracha. That the shidduch will be oily yafe. So they went, the boy is a typical boy, like every other boy in Lakewood, going back probably 50, 60 years, like whatever, they went to the mishpacha and inquired. He's a good boy, this, that. But no one can say with definitiveness that the certainty that he learns every day, Musar, he has a Musar Seder every single day. So they go back and they said to him, you know, everything is a good boy. Give us a bracha. We want to, it means very much to us that you should give us a bracha. And he said, I'm not giving you a bracha. I cannot give a bracha unless the boy learns 10 minutes a day, Musar. A shocking thing to say. I mean, today, I don't know what the end of the story was, but today we overlooked it. Today you ask a boy who goes... No, I don't think they even addressed it, but like, yes, question today. Today people are involved in Shidduchim. How many boys today who are getting engaged, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25-year-old boys who are in learning, or in Lakewood, or are in sitting learning, you can say about them that every single day they learn 10 minutes of Musar. How many of them?
How many come in time to daven?
A Okay, that's another thing. Okay, that's different. Okay, you're right. Okay, yeah, but Musar is something very, very serious. They do say that there is a mahalach not to learn Musar. There's definitely such a mahalach. I don't know which school of thought is that. If you learn a daf gemara, the discipline and the hasmada, the amelus of learning a daf gemara, memela, by osmosis, you'll absorb the Musar HaTorah. Many gedolim shall completely reject that. Completely hold that. That's not. Maybe that was true 200 years ago, but it's not true today. Like Rav Pam always used to say that his mother never opened up a Chafetz Chaim. His mother didn't know from Shmir Saloshin, from all of these programs today.
He knew it, but not from a Sefer.
And yet, never once in her life did he ever hear or see anything that came close to Lashon Hara. How could it be? But she learned Chofetz Chaim and Shmir Saloshin, the hotlines and this. Then you have a different upbringing. You don't need to overdo this limud hamusar. Here he's saying over here something that's totally shocking. Chadal b'nei lishma musar. Don't listen to words of musar. Lishkois that will cause you to err me imre das. Words of musar that will cause you to make mistakes. Lishkois means to err, to make mistakes, from the words of knowledge. It's very difficult. What exactly, how could words of Musa cause you to make mistakes from words of knowledge? Adarab, learning Musa will bring you closer to Imre Das. So maybe you'll want to suggest that we're talking about a type of Musa that's defective. Don't go listen to Musa from Krumah Musa. People who give Musa to do things that are wrong. And that has to be the interpretation in some shape and form is which the Mitzudas right away comes to address. And then we'll have a few other interpretations. First, let's see how he says it. Chaposach of Zion. Chadal b'ni. Lipa'omim. He's adding a lot of interpretation. There are times. Yimsa nesis. You'll find a person who wants to take you off the derech. A person whose goal is to make you do averos, but he realized the only way he can get into you is lemesis lishkois mi imre das berayos koizavos to false proofs. So that's what he's right away. The Mitzudos is jumping to the end of the pasuk. There's a person out there that's trying desperately to cause you to be lishkois mi imre das, to go off the derech. However, he doesn't have a pesach. He can't get into your mind. The Yiftach Amorov, the way he's going to convince you to do an Avera is by B'Musar Amor, B'Musar Haskel, by talking to you words of Musar, holy words. Words of Musar, L'man Yaminubo, in order that you should believe in him, Ad Ki Yoshev L'Yadich, until he gets an opening, he engages you in conversation, and then once there has a Pesach, he has credibility, Ad Ki Yoshev L'Yadich, then once he has credibility, he'll Yoshev he'll convince you to go astray from the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, period. V'omar, and here Shlomo says to his listeners, Chadal b'ni, stay away from those people. L'shmoya ha-musar, shel habo l'chosis, a person that's coming to entice you, l'shkois mi'imre das, v'loy soymar, and do not say, listen, at least let me listen to the good. He gives good shiurim, so let me go at least listen to his musar. V'loy soymar, es ha-toiv nikabel, v'yes saroloy nikabel. The Gemara talks about this, Rabbi Meir, different people, Acher. So what should you do? He says, you take the good, but not the bad. V'loy nikabel, ki tia nilkad b'pituyav, you will be trapped in his enticements. So it's a very dangerous game. And you know, indeed, there are people like this out there. There are people out there that have there are some things that they have to say are unbelievable. But there are some hashkafas they have. I'm not telling you it's krum, but I'm telling you that it's not in line with what you've been raised. At least they're different. So when you start listening to a person because of you, it's just so interesting. He has so much what to say. There's no question about it. You're definitely affected by his way of thinking. And his way of thinking is not necessarily the way you would want to be thinking. You would want to be thinking. You know what I mean? It's not that. It's just a very common thing that you are influenced by your environment. And he's telling you here, don't stay away. So again, according to the Mitzudas, he's eating an enormous amount of interpretation of this pasuk. He's telling us that we're dealing over here with a person whose goal is to be a nesis to mediach. And the way he establishes credibility is with Musar. Musar is delicious. Maiselach. And and very loch divrei agada, divrei agada is moshech es halev. So he draws you in through his divrei musa, divrei agada, and his stories. And then when he got a hold of you, he delicately influences you to do things which are not proper. Those people Shlomo Melech is telling you to stay away from. That's a lot of interpretation being added into this pasuk. Let's see a pasuk of Zayin in the Rashi. Chadal b'ni l'shmoy mikra katzahu. Rashi also says that we're missing words in this pasuk because it doesn't. You cannot be taking this pasuk literally. There's no way in the world that Shlomo Melech can be telling you not to learn Musar. Impossible. So what then does it mean? V'zeh
perushoy. It said just that.
What?
The previous statement about
the mitzudas.
Yeah,
he said Mikukotzer, exactly. You can't read this pasuk literally. That's why he tells us we're dealing with a very clever genius, a clever individual who has an agenda. And don't think that you're going to be able to separate the good from the bad, just distance yourself, cut yourself off from him completely. Rashi begins with the same beginning. There's something wrong with this pasuk. Mikukotzer who? Okay, so right away he jumps to the end of the pasuk. Don't go off b'shvil l'shmoya musar. Stay away from going off the derech in order to get the advantage of listening musar. Now, what does that mean? Chadal l'shkois. Chadal, stay away l'shkois k'mo mi l'shkois. D'chein chadal l'asayis ha-pesach. He just said the same thing in the mitzvah. The mitzvah, this means the mem.
Rashi says, if you have a choice of chachma or musar, stay with chachma. Don't even go to musar. And so this says, be careful that some musar is really
slippery slope. Right, so let's see Rashi again. Right, Mikra, so Chadal v'ni lishkos me'imre das b'shvil l'shmoya musar. Don't give up on das for musar. If you only can have one, not the other, don't focus on musar over das. The main course is das, is chokhmah. There's chokhmah, which I guess he means halacha, and then there's musar. The focus should not be musar. The focus should be chokhmah satara. If you can chop around a little musar also, kol hakavod, but don't overdo it. That's seemingly what Rashi says.
What does lishkos mean anymore?
To make a mistake. Lishkois means chadab and lishkois shkia mi'imri das means to err in words of das. I'm not going to know chokhmah. I'm going to be ignorant because I'm going to spend my entire day learning musar. If you learn musar, you're not going to know halacha.
So you can always make a mistake in pshat. In halacha, it's
but the concept of musar, they say, you know, learn musa because that's
what we
have to learn. The famous over the Soslat, they only have 5 minutes to learn. What should I learn? You learn musa, because in those 5 minutes you'll discover that you have a lot more than 5 minutes to learn during the day. That's the Rav from the Yisrael Soslat. Okay, but here he's talking about different types of musa, different types of chokhmah. Let's just keep it very abstract. Over here there's something called chokhmah. You have to know the aleph bays. You have to know halacha. You have to know how to learn a mishnah, a little gemara. If you're going to spend the whole day reading stories of Gedolim, I'm just being very abstract.
I don't mean that.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people out there who are preaching moral values, what supposedly Jewish moral values are, who are empty of chachma.
Of chachma, of the basics, 100%.
Their value system is distorted, but they appeal to
you have to be well balanced. Well balanced.
They're Muslim, but they don't know how it is.
They're not an expert in Muslim. They have.
If you don't know chokhma, you don't know musar. I mean, I can just give a very abstract example. It's better to learn a few mishnayos a day than spending your whole day reading gedolim books about biographies about gedolim. It's very nice, beautiful. It's unbelievable. Chazanish says Chazanish was a big advocate of
art school. We show revisionist history. That's
what. No, I'm not going there. Let's not go there. It's a very nice thing. Maisei tzaddikim. But the ikar is you have to learn Shulchan Aruch. You have to learn the Mishnah. You have to learn Daf Gemara. That's pretty much what he's saying. That seems to be what Rashi is saying. Don't sacrifice your Yediyah Satorah for the Musar.
Yeah, that's okay, well, if it goes, who would you take for your house? A professor in plumbing or a plumber?
A plumber. not a professor. Who you take her as? A designer, someone, a interior decorator to do the plumbing. You're not going to take an interior decorator to do the plumbing. The plumbing is the plumbing. You need the first thing is the toilet has to work. If the toilet doesn't work, it doesn't make a difference what color it is. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. The ikarim are the ikarim. That's pretty much what he seems to be saying according to Rashi. Now, there are other interpretations. Other interpretation is don't go to the extreme in words of Musar. In other words, if you learn Musar, it says that women are very evil. Women can be nichshel. If you look at a woman, oh, this will lead to this, and this will lead to that, and before you know, you're going to be nichshel and gili arayis esha sish, the worst. So you know what? So stay away from a woman. If you'll take this to the extreme, you'll become a chosid shaita. If a woman will slip in the snow, you're not going to want to pick her up, and you're going to let her die because she slipped in the snow. So why? It's Musar. How can I go and pick up a woman lying in the street? If I look at her, I may have a hearer, and that hearer will grow into an uncontrollable taiva, and that taiva will come, I'll be nichshel in gili arayis.
That's why they took Merkel's picture out of the march.
What?
That's why they took Merkel's picture out of the march. France.
Because you might see, they took out Hillary from a solid line, they killed her on the line. Okay, so... So this is what it says. Chadal b'ni l'shmoya musar, with the musar, stay away from the extremists. There are people who give musar, givaldi, go listen to the shiurim, but don't get so worked up over the musar. Chadal b'ni l'shmoya musar, when the musar leads lishkois to make mistakes, me imre das, of words that are normal. Common sense. A person is a sakana. You help the person. Don't go say, but it says in the Musa Svarm, you have to stay away from women. Such Musa, when Musa is taken to the extreme, is extremely dangerous. This is another interpretation. I saw this in the article. Everything coming from Musa al-Bag. Could be that is an al-Bag. Okay, there are other interpretations, but I don't remember them. So we'll just go further. Pasuk Chavches, Eid Bilyal Yolitz Mishpat, next theme. An Eid Bilyal means an evil advocate. Yolitz Mishpat. A person, the people who are always demanding justice are the people who are base individuals. Bilyal means a person, Bili oil, unrestrained. There is no yoke. No yoke of Yerushalayim, no yoke of any responsibility. Such a person who is a witness, Yolitz Mishpat, is always demanding justice, justice, justice. Ufi Rishaim Yivala Oven, and the mouth of the Rasha swallows. And let's see in more detail what this means in the Mitzudas. Yolitz Mishpat, B'Mishpat Yisakin Amarav. Okay, the Mitzudas translates to mean that he's always coming to justify himself. He'll always find a loophole, he'll always find an excuse to show that he is to be vindicated. B'mishpat yisakein amarav, b'metav hamalitza, with an eloquent expression, l'man yukublu ala lev yaminu lo, in order that they should accept him and they should believe in him. So in other words, the word yolitz means he's eloquent. He will find the best lawyers. A person who is a belial, an aid belial, a witness who has an agenda, to accomplish evil. He wants to testify falsely and say something that's not true. He knows that if he goes into court and just says this, so says his testimony in ordinary common man's language, they'll say you're a liar. Get out of here. Get lost. But if he'll come in with a yolitz, he'll come in with a Harvard lawyer, a Yale lawyer, knows how to talk, and knows how to spins and to play with the minds of the judges, then he'll be able to pull it off and convince the jury, that's not so hard, but to convince even the judge, to convince them that he is correct. So an Eid Bilyal, Yolitz Mishpat, he has to seek his false judgment through a melitza, through eloquent expression.
So there's two ways to look at this. One is melitz, and the other is leitzanus, which is
Okay, in Echnami. So I read Mitzvah. So I translated loosely the simple translation, but here let's see what the Mitzvah is. The Mitzvah is telling us the Yolitz means he's Melitz. In Echnami here, Melitz is a positive word. It's a word which means, well, not in this context, it's a positive, but it means that he's eloquent in his expression to convince the judge and the jury that he is correct. Yolitz, one more time, the words Yolitz, Mishra, Mishra, Yisakin, Amav, Mishra, Yisakin, Amav, Bimeta, Vamalitza, Laman, Yikubla, Alalevi, Aminu, Lo, to believe him, even though what he says is totally a lie. And then the Pasuk concludes and repeats itself, Ufi, Risham, Yivala, Oven. What does that mean? The Mitzvot, Yivala, Oven, Divrei, Oven, the words of sin, Yoimar, Bibaliya, he'll say by swallowing it. Lebal yargishu she'etzem hakavona ala dover ha'avonahu. So yivla means he will hide in his speech. In his speech, he'll package up a lie in the most beautiful packaging in order to conceal, to camouflage his true agenda. Divrei ha'avon yema bebelia lebal yargishu she'etzem hakavona ala dover ha'avonahu ki yachshavu shelefitumo yidar. People will think that what he's saying is he's really right. He's saying in his sincerity, in his innocence, lefitumo, he's really sincere and he really means it. He's going to do it in a way that is so clever that not he's going to. He'll be able to pass it off. So fi risham yivala oven, he will swallow, he will basically hide, camouflage in his eloquent speech, oven, the sin that he is trying, he's planning to do. Let's look at the Rashi Pasik Chavches, Eid Belial Yolitz Mishpat, Yoid Le. Now I don't know what that word is. I really don't know. Can anyone help me with this word? Why could I put the mem there? Yohid le'adam melitzas mishpate yisurim u'misa. He testifies le'adam concerning a man. Melitzas mishpate yisurim, a melitza, an expression of punishment, u'misa. Okay, so Eid Belial Yolitz Mishpat. Basically, we're saying that he testifies falsely. It's not Rashi, he's not really explaining. It just means that it's Eid Belial Yolitz. He is testifying. Yolitz is another word for testimony, expression of speech. Mishpat. The Mishpat here means a Mishpat of Yisurin. Rashi is eating that into the Pasuk. It's pretty similar to what it says in the Mitzvot of Yisurin and Umisa. Okay, Upi Rishoim Yivala Oven. Ha'oven Yivlaenu. They swallow the sin. They swallow the sin yivloehu. Rashi really is not elaborating what this means. We'll assume it means the same thing as the Mitzudos, is that in their eloquent speech they're able to swallow up sin in order to pass it off. Same thing. What does it have there? What? Adam? Yeah. With the mem? He puts a mem in there?
Against the man with the rhetoric of judgments of tortures and
death. So it means Adam. Okay. Yohid le'echad melitzas mishpatei yisurim umisa. A false witness testifies falsely against his victim, testifies that he deserves punishment and deserves death. And the pi of the Rasha, yivala oven, yivalehu oven. I don't know more what it means in Rashi, but it seems that he's saying something similar to the Mitzudos. He's able to cleverly camouflage his goal of testifying falsehood against his fellow man through eloquent speech. Pasuk Chavtes, Nachonu la'leitzim shefatim. Pasuk Chavtes says it is prepared, it is designated for the leitzim shefatim, for these evil people, these leitzanim, these people who mock, the mockers. Shefatim, judgment. The day of reckoning is coming for them. Uma halumos, and punishment, torture, waterboarding. Mahalumos means torture. Torture legave to the back of kisilim, the fools. In this context, the fool means evil people. Now, the word mahalumos is a very unusual word. It means it's a contraction, according to the interpretation, of three words: ma, lo, moves. The lamed just stands for lo, moves, member of self. What is left for him other than death? In other words, you've tortured him to the point where he's one moment away from death. That's how tortured his body is. It's an expression means torture. Torture and punishment to the point where he's on the brink. He's a mash away from expiring. Okay, let's see the Mesudas Pasuk Chav Tes and Mesudas Shefatim Mishpatei Yisurim Umahalumos Makois Hamishabrois, wounds that destroy, crush the body, Nachonu, are being prepared. Leguf kisilim, for the body of the foolish people. Rashi, Nachonu l'leitzim HaKadosh Baruch Hu zimin lo shefatim shel tsaras. Shefatim means punishments. Right? Shefatim gedolim. So here, shefatim means punishments. Nechonu l'leitzim. Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu zimin lo shefatim shel tzoras. So Rashi here says something very amazing. Something amazing. The word shefatim specifically refers to tzoras. L'zeh haleitz hamesaper loshon hora. The reason why we have to assume here the word shefatim means tzoras is because it says aleitz. And aleitz is someone who sins with his mouth. Sinning with his mouth means that he is nichshol in lashon hara, and the punishment for lashon hara, Chazal tell us, is tsaras. So therefore, we have to assume the shefatim, the type of shefatim that we're dealing with, is tsaras. Okay. In fact, the Gemara says that ad shaloi, this is a medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, ad shaloi barasi ha'adam hiskanti lechamisha maglevim. Hashem says, before I created Adam Harishon, I already brought into this world five types of tzaras. What are the five types of tzaras? We normally think of them as four, but here it says there are five: se'es, sapachas, baheres, shechin, and michva. Shechin. Okay, michva. Rashi here, that's what the Medrash says. Se'ei, sapachas, baheres, shechin, michva.
Usually, the four includes saras itself.
Okay, that's all one general term. Okay, here's the other version. The Istiyamri. Good, the Istiyamri, this is the Medrash. Some say, se'ei, sapachas, baheres, tsaras, vonesek. Okay, a different version, one of the five, how you break up the five, whatever they are. And why, this is something very interesting, why? Kineged chamisha toros. The reason why the Medrash says there are five different forms of tzaras, kineged chamisha chumshe Torah, zos ha-toyrah l'chol nega ha-tzaras v'lanesek. There are five chumashim, and there are five forms of punishment. This tzaras represents the ultimate form of punishment to remind the person that if you don't behave, then you will be punished. Fear of punishment is what keeps the world going. Ilmoli mara, ish esri eyu chayim below. If not for the fear of malchus, and that also means the fear of chet of Ova and the chet of yiras haoinish, the world cannot exist. Okay, so that pretty much concludes this parak. All right, so we'll stop over here. Okay, I want to remind everyone, tomorrow we're not going to have a shiur. Okay, we're going to cancel the shiur tomorrow, not because of the snow, but because tomorrow is Yom Gimel Parshas Beshalach. You all have to stay home and spend the whole day being with Spalo for Parnassa. In Koilo, you need a Parnassa.